When I was a sophomore at Christendom College, I went to Tijuana, Mexico, for a week-long mission trip with the Missionaries of Charity Brothers. As you know, the Missionaries of Charity work with the poorest of the poor, and during that week, I did the same. One day, I assisted with their weekly healing ministry, which meant that we took a bag of bandages and medicine and literally took to the streets looking for people in need. After a very short walk, we came across a homeless man who was literally sitting on the pavement, unable to walk because of a huge infected wound about the size of a softball right there on his leg beneath the knee. The religious brother who was with me gave me a bandage and some ointment and said, "Go to work." So I knelt down and very slowly and carefully, because I could tell he was in a lot of pain, began to clean the wound and then to bandage it. And I remember the man's look in his eyes. He was so grateful for the small act of kindness that I had done. My brief physical touch affected him, and it showed me that here was more than just a sick person. This man was a child of God who possessed inherent human dignity. In our gospel today, Jesus encountered a leper. Few afflictions in biblical times were more hideous or terrifying than that of leprosy. Leprosy was a skin disorder in which bacterial infection caused the skin to ulcerate, which resulted in oozing sores, disfigurement, loss of limbs, and occasionally blindness. In ancient times, leprosy was incurable, and so its diagnosis was virtually a death sentence. But besides the physical ravages, a leper was shunned from the rest of the community in accord with the law, which we heard in the first reading from the book of Leviticus. A leper was supposed to go around with his garments rent and his head bare, and he was to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." Because a leper was seen as ritually unclean, he wasn't even allowed to enter the temple to worship God. And because this disease was highly contagious, lepers were kept at a very safe distance from the rest of society. Because of these rules in place, it's odd for us to hear of a leper in the city. By approaching Jesus directly, he was making a bold move. Not only was he violating the very strict measures of the law, but he was also setting himself up to face the familiar reaction of horror and revulsion at the sight of a leper. Because most people saw only his illness, but Christ sees more. Christ looks at the leper and he sees a man with dignity, a human person. And this encourages the leper to approach the Lord. He humbly kneels down, admits his disease, and asks to be made clean. "If you wish, you can make me clean." And what a beautiful prayer that this is, because it expresses the leper's complete confidence in the power of Jesus. And look at Christ's response. St. Mark tells us that Jesus was moved with pity. This verb implies a strong emotional response, like when our guts are just torn with suffering. That's how Jesus was moved. But notice that Jesus isn't made unclean when he touches the leper. The power of Christ's holiness is invincible. And because no defilement can contaminate him, he's able to remove defilement from those who approach him in faith. Contact with Christ makes us holy. And in the sacraments, Christ continues to touch us in order to heal us. But we first need to go to him to admit our disease in humility and to ask to be made clean. We need to go to the divine physician just like the leper did. Even repeating that same prayer to him when we approach the sacrament of confession, we can have that same prayer on our lips. Lord, if you wish, you can make me clean. And we hear that same response of Jesus, I do will it, be made clean. Christ's example in the gospel today reminds us of the truth and the importance of human dignity. The dignity of every human person is rooted in the fact that we are made in the image and likeness of God. And because we all share his image, we all share in that dignity. And respect for the human person demands that we look on everyone around us without exception as another self. Because the whole law of God can be summed up in one phrase, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But how often in today's society do we hear of children being aborted or abandoned because they have a disability? Certain people like this are seen as ritually unclean. And yet, this totally disregards their human dignity, and so this viewpoint must be totally rejected. Central to the idea of human dignity is respect for the body, respect for our own bodies, and for those of others. And that's why the new movie that came out this weekend, 50 Shades of Grey, is so destructive. By all reports, it's a harmful depiction of human sexuality, and it's very degrading to the dignity of women. To treat another person fundamentally in terms of one's own needs or wants or desires, to reject their human dignity is to treat that person as a slave. Somehow, even in the face of so much talk about human rights and the liberation of women, our society is living a contradiction. In various ways, our society condones, either implicitly or explicitly, the treatment of women as slaves. And an honest assessment of the pervasive presence of pornography bears witness to this fact. On the other hand, sexual intercourse in the context of marriage is a beautiful thing, and it possesses God-given dignity. Because a man and a woman give themselves entirely, it's that entire gift of self, and this gift can be life-giving. That a man and a woman can become co-creators with God and bring a new child into existence, a child with a soul with dignity that can live with God forever in heaven. True love is never self-seeking, but it always seeks the good of the other because of the dignity of the beloved. And that's the example that Jesus gives us on the cross, fully pouring himself out because of the love he has for the beloved. And so we respect the human dignity of every person because we're all made in the image and likeness of God. Or as St. John Paul II once said, the duty of every man is the dignity of every woman. In the context of human dignity, I'd like to address the principle of solidarity, which is a key facet in the church's social teaching. Now, solidarity is just a fancy word for friendship or social charity. We know that we should love others. We should love them as if it were Christ himself, because we have his words in the gospel, whatever you did for the least of my brothers, you did for me. But in a particular way, solidarity highlights the rights and the dignity of every person, and also the intrinsic social nature of the human person. In other words, we're all meant to live in community. Sure, this means working together for a more just society, but it begins at the more local level, at the level of our individual lives, of our individual families. Solidarity is a virtue which begins in family life, because it's there that we learn how to love, how to share our possessions. It's in the family that we learn about service and proper care for the elderly. And as we grow, we learn to distribute our goods in accord with responsible stewardship. And so what are some ways that we can reach out to others in solidarity? We can reach out to those in need. Well, one way is through the corporal works of mercy. And a few examples of these corporal works of mercy are to feed the hungry, to give drink to the thirsty, to visit the sick and the imprisoned. And here at the parish, there are numerous ways to get involved. Certainly the Knights of Columbus, the Ladies of Hope, the Parish Service Partnership do so many good works for those in our parish and in our community. The Legion of Mary continues the church's mission of evangelization. Of course, we can and should contribute to the monthly parish food drive. And for high schoolers, we have Mother Teresa Mondays, in which students can visit those in need for the sake of Christ. Concern for the corporal necessities of our neighbor has always been characteristic of a fervent Christian. And so wherever Christianity has put down roots, what has flourished has been organizations that work primarily with the sick and the poor. But our motives have to be selfless. We serve others out of love for Christ. And what we should notice about these organizations is that their primary purpose is the individual sanctification of their members. Because lots of charitable work is done without any reference to Christ. But the true Christian works for the other out of love for Christ. That love for Christ is the motive of charitable works. To serve Christ is to serve our neighbor, because we all make up the body of Christ. Modern society, however, tends to judge a person's value based on what good works he does for other people. And that's a good start, but it's incomplete, because the true Christian measure is what we do for God. And so solidarity goes far beyond material goods into the spiritual realm. We need to share the spiritual goods of our faith. And so our principal duty to our neighbor is a supernatural one, to pray for their well-being and their salvation. The greatest work of solidarity, of fraternal charity, is to beg God's grace for others. And grace comes only through a supernatural life. And so we could say that the greatest service we can render to our neighbor is to become holy ourselves, because we can't give what we don't have. And before we can share holiness with others, we have to work at becoming holy ourselves. Fortunately for us, we have the opportunity built in the church's year, the season of Lent, which begins this coming Wednesday on Ash Wednesday, a chance to renew our dedication to a life of holiness and to a life of service. So during these next few days leading up to Ash Wednesday, let's take a look at our lives, at our past and at our future. What are the ways that we can sanctify ourselves with God's grace and reach out to assist the spiritual and the physical needs of others? And here's a few ideas that I came up with. First, confession. It's a must during the 40 days of Lent, at least one time. Then we have our 40 hours devotion, a Eucharistic devotion which begins next Sunday, and details are in the bulletin. Perhaps you can become active in one of the parish organizations I listed above. Details are available on the parish website. Jesus reached out to touch the corrupting flesh of a leper. And this touch changed that man's life forever. What will we do to remain in solidarity with those in need? Will our love for God drive us to assist those around us when we see them in need. May we learn to see Christ in those who suffer, in the sick and in the poor. And may we seek to alleviate their suffering through our love and through our care for them. Amen.